Okay, good evening. We're in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10, and we're going to be looking at God becomes angry. Now, we're going to learn, when we talk about God becoming angry, God is demonstrating His love, because if He doesn't do something, that'll destroy people. So, out of His love, He demonstrates His anger. So this is what we're dealing with. Now, let's prepare for today, for our study tonight, and let's be in prayer for Bill Risley and family over his son, Nathan. And I don't think I mentioned Sunday that he had a twin, and that's twin Courtney, who was here, by the way. And so we need to be in prayer there. And let's see, do you have any other prayer requests that we need to be? Okay, then let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You in prayer. Pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You'd have us to see and to understand when You do become angry. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, now we come to God's response to the negative attitude of the people in the wilderness. We've been studying the wilderness in Hebrews, and so now we're looking at what God's response in the wilderness. Now, let's talk about what's going on in this nation, our own nation. People looking at murder in this country, murdering of children, and which we had one this week, 19 people, and people reacting and handling all of these things. But let me tell you something. We do not pay attention to the sinful society that we live in. We look at when murder happens, oh, that's terrible. No, what leads to that? Why are so many people involved in murder, involved in these things? So we got to pay attention to the sin that people are involved in. Led into the TV. TV is just so devastating of children today. Immorality in the homes. Look at the immorality allowed in churches to continue to come to the church, continue at communion, when it's very clear in the 1 Corinthians 11 that this is not allowed. Yet people will do it. And break down the families. Now, think about murder. I want to remind you, the first murder in history was a brother murdering a brother. And they were the second group of people on earth. And didn't have guns, but they committed murder. Most people, including believing pastors, have no idea what the worst sin is in the Bible. What is the worst sin in the Bible? All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 12, 31. Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. God will forgive. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Shall not be forgiven. I could spend a whole time on what happens when God doesn't forgive. Verse 32, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him either in this age, age of Israel, or in the age that comes. That's in the church age. So we're dealing with the fact of dealing with when God forgives. This blasphemy is rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which means to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the sin. Our society does not even consider Jesus Christ, does not consider the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll concentrate on chapter 10, or verse 10, but let's just read, starting at verse 10. Therefore, I was angry with this generation, a whole generation, and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. Do you know God's ways? Verse 11, as I swore in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. That's pretty powerful. It is always failure when you reject and forget and do not know God's way. Verse 12, take care, brethren, believers, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Verse 13, but encourage one another. So we were, don't forget, and then yet would be encourage one another day, every day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, that's the Holy Spirit's, do not harden your heart. So if you hear his voice, do not harden his heart. When they have provoked me. Therefore, for this reason, I was angry. Verse 10. Therefore, for this reason, I was angry, or aroused, or provoked. God is so ready to give more and more blessings, more and more grace. But these people are such that God cannot give graceful blessings. I was angry with this generation. God's angry is a response to human betrayal when man refuses to obey God. Verse 10, therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. As I said in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The Greek word reveals an attitude toward God, to be sorely angered, to be sorely angered. Look at Psalm 95. Let's open the Word of God to Psalm 95. Now there's a lot to look at in the entire Psalm, but we'll look at verse 10. For 40 years, I loathe this that generation. For 40 years, God loathed them and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Now, first think in terms of Moses. Once you first think in terms of Moses, the one who wrote the first five books, and here is what they had to put up with. This is what he had put up with for 40 years after turning the wording on the Word of God. Now we come to how the Lord had to put up with this generation. He led them out of Egypt. That was his grace. Then he led them across the Red Sea. That's his grace. He did all this for this people, and this is what he received in return from these people. Their hearts were against God and against Moses. Here, by the way, most of them were believers. Here we learn about God. He loathed this entire generation for 40 years. That's putting up with all his languor that long. He despised this generation. Now, why does not anger by these people? Because of their heart. Because of their heart, they're angry at him. In their hearts, they disobeyed God. They did not listen to the way of God. So God was angry. He loathed at them. The question, how about you? Do you listen to the way of God? Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you come to the assembly of others, to the worship of God, to sing praises to God? Do you give money to the Lord? And the many ways in which we have to worship the Lord. Do you do that? Are y'all doing that? Are you doing that now? God maintained wrath toward these people. I want you to pay close attention. Not only of God's wrath, but he swore in regards to their life, they will not enter his rest. They will not. That's, he swore it. How horrible is it not to be in the rest of God? This means that he took on an oath. God took an oath that they will not enter his rest. Only Joshua and Caleb and probably his wife, Azubah, A-Z-U-B-A-H, stayed with the Lord. sight of the whole group of people. The rest of the generation did not make it into Canaan for the land of rest. This means that some 600,000 Israelites died over the land of the wilderness. A generation with hardened in the heart who refused to rest and just return and trust the Lord and be kept with Him. They wouldn't do it. And what is really a shame is that this generation were all believers in the Lord. And that's what's so amazing. They all were believers and they all just died. They did not love their salvation. They did not love the Lord. And they lost the joy of going into the promised land. Now, here is the real loss. God loved every one of them. God loved every one of them. Yes, He carried wrath, but He also loved them. Every unbeliever in the eternal lake of fire is loved by God. Every unbeliever in the lake of fire is loved by God. Now, with that in mind, look at Romans chapter 1. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God. By the way, I'm on, because of our study, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. But all that's going on in America today. So we're just going to look at wrath of God for a while. And Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, ungodliness, denying God or disobeying God, irreverent toward God, not confessing to worship God, not loving God. God loves them, they do not love God. Now, let's look at the two words. Ungodliness, unrighteousness. Ungodliness. What's ungodliness? Ungodliness is denying God. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time going through it, just very quickly. Ungodliness is denying God. Ungodliness is disobeying God. Irreverent toward God. Not loving Him. Then the next one is unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Unrighteousness, unforgiven sins. One who is wicked or immoral, having no morality, no holiness toward God, no loving toward God. Either ungodliness or unrighteousness against God brings about the wrath of God. Get this in your soul. Either ungodliness, unrighteousness against God brings about the wrath of God. The wrath of God comes when one or as people forcibly put an end to godliness and our righteousness. Multitude of people forcibly move against God, God's righteousness, immorality, homosexuality, immorality, immoral activities. The time is coming when God has had enough and his wrath comes out against the people in this country of ours. At some point, his wrath will come out. God's wrath is not a reckless rage. God's wrath is not a reckless rage. It is not an uncontrollable anger. It is not sinless fury. It is not unjust vengeance. It is blame. It is based on God's righteousness and on the justice of God. God is righteous. God is just. God demonstrates his righteousness and justice by public display of his wrath. God is justice. God demonstrates his righteousness, and he demonstrates his justice by public display of his wrath. The wrath of God is controlled response to denial of his holiness. As the people stand in there against unholiness to God, that's the wrath of God. People who suffer under the wrath of God begins with rejection Jesus Christ as Savior, either as Savior or even believers, the righteousness of Jesus Christ by believers. Believers can become where you become recipient of the wrath of God. This is what happened in the wilderness. Wrath of God comes as an offensive against the righteousness of God. To understand wrath, you must understand, you must understand three things about God. To understand God's wrath, you must understand three things about God. One, his righteousness. Two, his justice. Three, his love. His righteousness, his justice, and his love. A parent who does not discipline their child does not, in truth, love them. One who loves their child brings wrath on their child when the child continually disobeys proper conduct from the child. By fulfilling God's wrath, he invites people to his Son for salvation. It's what he does by showing wrath. If one has believed in Jesus as their Savior, but who lives in sin, in immorality, living in a way that is contrary to his holiness, they come under the wrath of God also. So unbelievers can come under the wrath of God. Believers can come under the wrath of God. If people live in sin and do not feel the wrath of God, are in person of grace, God gives them the time. So what I'm saying here is, if you're living in sin and you do not hear the feel the wrath of God, as many people don't in America today, you're under grace. God is dealing with you in grace. God gives you time, the grace to change your life. America is moving to immoral sin as a nation of immoral homosexuality. Unbelievable and unthinking. They are not male or female and so on. All the stuff going on today. This nation is headed to the wrath of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because God is good. God is good. God is love. Because God is righteous, God will eventually demonstrate His wrath. Look at Exodus 34. Look at Exodus 34. We're going to look at his character. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 6. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. How wonderful is that? Now look at verse 7. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet, He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on their children and on their grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. God is wrath. God is love. Look at Romans chapter 1. God is wrath towards sin. We should expect His wrath from sin. We should expect it. Not be surprised in it. We should expect it. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In the Old Testament, the most cataclysmic wrath of God is given in Numbers 16. Take a look at it. Cataclysmic demonstration of His wrath is in Numbers 16. The most demonstration of His wrath. Verse 31. As He finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open. Okay, think what you think about it. The land split up. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. And then and there households and all of the men who belonged to Korah with his possessions. verse 33, so that, or so they, and all that belonged to them went down alive down in Sheol. That's not a good way to die. And the earth closed them up, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. They died right there. Verse 34. All Israel who were around them fled at their outcry, as they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. This is the wrath of God. It's a good picture of it. The most important lesson from God, about God, out of His grace, separates from evildoers. Separates us from evildoers. It should also be noted that this is the result of the prayer from Moses. Think about this. Moses prayed. This is what happened. Moses prayed a prayer to God, that God would concern the congregation and by removing this segment from among the people. That was his prayer. That was the prayer of Moses. That was the response of God. Opened up the land, took them out. One thing about God, is removal from this group, those who are evil sinners. He will remove sinners from sinners, horrible sinners. Sometimes God simply moves out certain troublemakers. Just takes out some troublemakers. But other times, God removes certain people in a way that is obvious that God is removing them. See, we really do know that God did that? Yeah, God did it. Does God take it every time? Well, in the long way, we understand, yeah. But not just like God came in there to do that. But there, God will do it sometime where we can see Him move. There will be no mistake about that, that this is the work of God. As soon as Moses had spoken, God caused the earth to open and swallow up the evildoers. Here is somewhere else to learn about God. While you may not fully understand that God removed them, their parents, and He removed them, their parents, and their children from the assembly. You may not fully understand this, but I want you to understand something. God is just. God is justice. God took them out of the way. That was just to everyone to spare them. Some just met it in a more memorable way, more dramatic way to die, as others may die. But they're all going to die, so we're not going to get too excited about the fact, are they dead? We're all going to die. Some will die dramatically, some will not. It was most significant that God took them out of the manner in the manner he did. In the New American Standard Version, that is translated entirely new thing. King James says a new thing. Let me tell you what the Hebrew says. If creation creates Jehovah. In other words, this is the only place in the entire Word of God where this Hebrew word shows up. Only place. Do you get it? It is a created thing from God. God created for the purpose of removing this entire group of sinners. That's what God did. The earth comes alive by God's doing. The earth comes alive by God's doing. First, note the translation. The ground split open. The only other place where this occurs is in Genesis 4, where the earth opened its mouth to receive the blood of Abel. So this is the only time, second time, this has occurred. This time, opened, as if the ground were alive and opened up and devoured them. Moses does not talk about these people have rejected me. He says these men have rejected the Lord. He doesn't go up there, well, they've rejected me. I'm the leader. They rejected me. No, doesn't bother with that. He talks about they rejected the Lord. That's what he comes to. He says these men rejected the Lord. And verse 31 writes, as if this is something that happens unknown, unplanned, over. But it was not new. It was planned by God. We should be very careful of the future for this country in light of this adultery and what God will do. And I'm surprised it ended. And I'm every now and then you come late or you go. I did this time really bad, but we'll continue this time next Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. We stand in fear of your wrath. We're sorry that you have to be demonstrative of your wrath. Please, please, Heavenly Father, bring us to your word to pray before you, your wrath. Something will happen in this country to wake up these people so that you do not have to demonstrate your wrath. But if it does, if this country does not, keep us, Heavenly Father, straight ahead in our relationship with you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.